You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Emergency fund and rainy day fund. Do you know the difference? I know they sound the same, don't they? Emergency fund, rainy day fund. But here's the truth. One protects you from life's unexpected crises, and the other cushions you through life's inconveniences. Most people don't realize that not knowing the difference and not planning accordingly can leave them vulnerable when life happens. But you won't be that person, because tonight on Personal Finance Monday, we're joined by Puti Mpelo, a financial educator who is passionate about helping people make smarter money moves. Together, we'll unpack these two powerful tools of financial planning, why they matter, and how you can start building them no matter your income level. Puti, hello.
How are you, Mpumi?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
I'm great, man.
So how I wanted to actually have this conversation is just dealing with the basics, getting into real life examples, perhaps helping people navigate how to build the funds, and then we'll move into mindset and psychology. And I know we should be starting with this because this is where a lot of people get tripped up, but I do want, after we've had the conversation, for us to then get the mindset and the psychology right, and then we'll just talk about how to future-proof our finances. Are you happy with that direction?
I'm great, thanks.
Fantastic. So let's start very simply. What is the difference between an emergency fund and a rainy day fund? Because I've been taught all my life, you better save for the rainy days. Aren't rainy days emergencies?
Rainy days are emergencies, but there's emergencies and then there's emergencies.
Okay.
So rainy day is, it's less critical things, but it's still unplanned.
Okay.
They're less critical, but like car service, a burst geyser, a school trip maybe, you know?
Yeah.
That's rainy day. And then emergency funds, those are more bigger, you know, bigger event. For example, you lose your job or you're in transition, medical emergency to a certain extent, you know, it's bigger costs.
Puti. So you're saying there's petty cash... There's petty cash savings, and then there's real savings.
There's real savings, ma'am. Those ones where you lose your job
or something, medical and you're emergency.
Like, and people are like, Mara, why are you looking so okay? It's like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Why is it dangerous to use these two terms interchangeably?
It's dangerous because then you mix them up. You're clouding up your priorities, number one. And I know I'm simplifying it, but clarity is power.
Of course, we know
this is emergency, this is rainy day. You know, it just helps you make decisions better as well, because there's an order there.
You know how I think I'll remember it? Rainy day versus the flood.
Madam, yes.
Yeah, because our rain, you just need an umbrella. Rain, you need an ark. The flood, you need an ark. Okay.
That's the best way.
So now, I follow a lot of financial educators online, right? And one such person, well, I don't really follow him, but I know about his baby steps. And he teaches very much on emergency fund. And he says, at the very basic, or at the very least, have $1,000. He is American. And then after you've done the other things, then build it up to like 3 to 6 months emergency. Now, with those kind of learnings and teachings that are abundant online, how do we then think about this, the apportioning of this emergency fund and the rainy day fund? Do you have a rule of thumb, perhaps?
There are many schools, but they're similar. It's just how what the number is, the percentages, right?
Okay.
You mean in terms of allocating for it?
Yes.
Right? So the most basic one is the 70-20-10.
Okay.
That's what most... So 70% of your income for whatever you need, 20% to savings and rainy days and all of that. And then we have the 10%, which is giving. I don't think there's any financial teacher who's worth their shirt who will tell you, or who will not mention the power of giving, which is at least 10%, right?
Yes.
But then we start varying these. So let's say 20% is decent. It buys you more peace of mind anyway. So let's say 70, 20, 30. And even in that, but that's more technical. You know, you still want to save it. Like, don't just put it away. There's investment and there's savings.
Yes.
There's two different things we know.
Yes.
So I think benchmark is 20%. The 70%, there's different schools of thought. I've gone or I've interacted with people who live on less than 30% of their income.
Oh,
every
I'd love that to be me. Jesus, why on others thou art calling? Do not pass me by.
Yay. So it depends. That 70 then varies. The others are saying 50-50, but there's always the living expenses that we must cater for because obviously we are living.
Yeah.
But yeah. That is more. The 70-20-10 is easy, so it's easy to start with, and then you can start varying it.
Yeah. And I know the list you'll give us right now isn't exhaustive, but can we actually just name them and list them? What are the sort of funds or the sort of expenses that would go under rainy day, and what would go under true emergency? I know for emergency we said anything perhaps medical that your medical savings wouldn't cover, and if you lost your job, and that's why the school of thought is normally 3 to 6 months of your salary, at least, or living expenses, maybe not salary, because that would be a lot. But the rainy days, when we think about it properly, what constitutes of both these kitties?
Yeah, rainy day would be like, say, the children's school trip. You need to repair a tire because we know there's some tires that cost people salaries. Repair a tire, you know, small things, burst geyser, maybe the excess, you know, the insurance excess, those type of things that you need to buy a new kettle, a new microwave, depending on your standard of living, obviously, and how much your income is, right? So it's those small and young things. Look, and an easier way to separate is the value, is the amount. I don't think that 100,000 rand for normal people is a rainy day.
Yeah.
Normal. You know. So we
that's
can talk
lotto.
About...
Give me. That's, yeah.
You see, so there's some people whose living, the standard of living is so high that, you know, a rainy day could be 100,000 rand. But for most people, you know, a kettle, how much is a new kettle? How much is a brand new microwave? We're talking about 4,000 rand, 5,000 rand, somewhere there, right?
Yeah.
And then that's what I would put under there, under the rainy day.
Yeah.
Like you said, emergency stuff is things that would really, if you had to cater for them, most people will run to a loan shark, would run to the bank for a credit card, would have to borrow. You see.
Yeah.
I know the reality is a lot of people are even borrowing for the everyday living, which we don't want, or the rainy day.
Yes.
That's a different discussion, but you get now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just speaking on rainy day, should a rainy day fund be replenished immediately after use, or can it wait until the next payday?
As soon as you can. Remember, the principle is, every time you get paid, even if you get a rand, learn to split
you.
It. That's just a habit. Then naturally the kitty will just continue growing.
So essentially there's no targets. Just throw in.
Ideally. Okay. You see, where this goes to is those disciplines. You know how the discipline. Where when I get 100, I'm not spending 100. Just have the habit of, from 100, there's 20 that goes to a rainy day or emergency. There's 10 that I give, and I live on 70. If we can start there, a lot of the challenges will be sorted.
Is it better to keep a rainy day fund in cash at home or in a bank account? Because if you need it, you need it. You don't have time for 32 day notes.
Look, under the mattress is not even safe, number one.
No. Oh, I was listening to the radio this morning. The crime stats are so bad, and it seems like now the crime of choice is house breaking.
Or even a naughty child.
I had a naughty brother.
a naughty child. You know, a friend of mine was just shocked that her boy, I mean, he was 6, he found money, they were counting money and stuff like that, and he says, I took the paper one, you know,
the paper one,
not the you know how much that is, the paper.
Yes, you should have taken the coin. Well, nothing, but you know what I mean. And ideally, what is the best, now I'm moving over to emergency funds, what is the best perhaps amount to have realistically? And I'm saying amount, but I think you get what I mean.
Before that, I didn't answer your question. So
yes.
Under mattress, no. I would go for it. There are a lot more options now. The banking space has opened up a lot more.
Love
most
it.
Savings accounts will allow you to earn interest on any positive balance. Most. I would look for something like that, where even if it's 10 Rand, it's a credit balance. Because remember, before these days, only certain types of accounts, the higher, you know, the more you moved up in life, then those check accounts, you would earn interest on a positive balance. But I see now that has opened up to a lot more people where savings accounts as well, as long as there's a positive balance, you get a little bit of credit. So make sure that if it's in a bank, you are earning interest. And you'll find that because if it's not earning interest while sitting in the bank, then you're losing because you're paying bank charges now. You know how you would have put 1,000 Rand 2 months ago, and 6 months later, they say to you, it's finished. And all it did was service the bank fee. That doesn't make sense.
Yes.
So please make sure that it's earning interest. And then if there's a minimum, you know, certain banks will tell you about 500, you start earning interest. If that's the case, that's fine. So find the best fit for you. Just make sure that, because what you will find is, although it's a small credit interest that you earn, it is subsidizing your fees. Your bank fees, you see, that's the thinking. So please, I do not think under the mattress is wise. And that's where you should, because we want it to be liquid for a rainy day. You want it that when you want it, you have it. Like you can walk across. But what does that talk to for me? Talks to your discipline. Because if it's sitting there and you know you have access to it, you see.
I think for me, the discipline is just seeing that big number on the app. I'm just like, oh yes, I don't like seeing it going down. So that is my discipline for me. But I know for a lot of people, it's not the same.
Yeah. Very few people who think like that. Yes.
Yeah. An emergency fund. What is the best way to go about it? 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, or it really helps the higher the number goes.
The higher, the more peace. Remember, we're just buying peace of mind. We're buying peace. We're buying dignity in decision making, so you're not desperate. You're making informed decisions because you're not frank, Dickner. So target 3 months, like at least.
Yeah.
Then we can grow it. And if there's a habit of splitting the money, you just continue for the rest of your life. What is so wrong with having excess?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's talk insurance. Because some people say, I don't need rainy day. I can just call the insurance. So what role does insurance play alongside these funds? Can it replace them or do they still stand on their own?
No. You know, these days especially, insurance companies are taking longer to pay out.
Hey, they're sneaky, those people.
Yes, and they're declining claims a lot more. And then there's the excess. What do you do with the excess? Because for every insurance claim, there's an excess to pay. So that is that rainy day we're talking about. Or sometimes if you're getting paid out in cash, they'll deduct it.
Yeah.
But most times you want them to replace the what do you call it? The thing that you're replacing.
Yes.
The appliance. I'm looking for that word.
Yes. Yeah. And now I want us to get into the building of the funds, right? And I don't want anyone to walk away from this conversation feeling like I wasn't covered or they didn't touch on my situation. So we'll talk about those who earn modestly and then we'll talk about those who are self-employed. And I think let's start with the self-employed people whose income isn't steady. Can they calculate how much to save in the emergency fund, or the principal is the principal? The percentage is the percentage. Yeah.
To keep it simple, the principle, if you get 10, you don't spend 10. If we can live with that, if we get 10, we don't spend 10. That's the way it starts. Because then what principle are we talking here?
Yeah.
You're paying yourself first. And paying yourself is not going to the famous restaurant and getting that expensive
meal. Oh, come on. I thought that's that exactly what you meant.
No, buy your future, buy your peace. You know that you're buying your peace if you think about it, as for as long as you can. You're, because the tough times are coming. It's not if, it's when, right? So you wanna. So if you lose your job, or you're retrenched. Imagine if you had 6 months, 8 months of your living expenses, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's stressful, but it's less stressful than when you don't know how you're going to pay rent at the end in the next 10 days or 20 days. But when you know that, okay, I can at least pay the rent, I can have fuel, school fees will be paid for the next 6 months, the decisions that you make are going to be different.
You know why I think somebody who's self-employed might find a loophole here and absolutely love it? It's because I'm thinking of someone who is maybe a creative and they have brand deals or they do certain adverts. In maybe one season, they are making anything like 120 a month. And when it's quiet and so when we say 20% or whatever amounts you can spend on your own, like 20% of 120,000 rand is really good money. And then you get to the lull. Now they're doing those odd jobs and extra here and there, and they're making 2,000, 5,000. And I think if the principal is the principal, then it might create that bit of discrepancy such that the person is a baller in one season and they are a pauper in another season. So is there maybe perhaps no, and I'm not saying exception in that the rule doesn't apply, but is there more of a Joseph situation of when you've got more or plenty store up so that when you have lean, you can we can tap back into those reserves?
And that's the ideal, right? The thing with the feast or famine cycle that sometimes you're doing well and then you're not doing well is you don't know how long you'll be in the famine, right?
Yes.
So back to the discipline. If the discipline is at minimum, we're doing, let's say, 70-20-30, for example, and I mean 70-20-10, right? And that's I'm on a, let's say, the best times. My living expenses are 100K. Let's say I'm making an example. When you make 600K, for example, why should your living move up from that 100K?
There's no need to be indulgent.
There's no. Then rather than that's what you know. That's a blessing. Then save up more. You see, because what then we want to always be managing is what they call lifestyle creep, where when you're making 10,000, you're eating out the most expensive restaurants. Your lifestyle is costing you 50K when you're doing well. When it's not, it's tough times. Then we're living on 10K. You see, so I would rather, hence the discipline will always be, I would rather have a set. Even for the self-employed people, where it's up and down. What is the set? What is the standard?
Yes,
right. A comfortable standard. And once you've got a comfortable standard, 70-20-10, anything above that is extra. You see. So if this month I'm used to living on the 100K, like I said, and I make 300K, we still split 70-20-30, but you realize that 70 of yours can go, it's no longer 70% of 300.
It's 70 of the 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
You still live on that and then you save the rest.
And you know what I love? Yeah, you know what I love about what you're saying is that what can actually happen if somebody is wise is that they can actually use this excess to decrease their monthly standard of living. So let's say maybe in this 100K, there's bond, there's a car and all of that. Paying down that debt reduces the burden per month. So instead of 100, it becomes 80 perhaps. So there's that opportunity as well.
Absolutely. Do you see? So the excess can help you. If we can all understand, you mentioned nicely rain or flood. Those are stressful, depending. But I think flood is always stressful. Rain, it depends whether you're a farmer or even excess rain is not good anyway, right?
Yes.
If we can have that rainy day and flood, what happens? There's stress. So emergency air or rainy day fund is to help you manage pressure. It's to help you manage stress. It's to buy you options.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing if you think about it. So the more, if you can buy into that, then you want to buy yourself more options. I mean, freedom is the ultimate goal, I think.
Yes,
you know,
Puti, why do people struggle to save for emergencies they can't see yet?
More human nature. So as people, we are wired to avoid pain and chase pleasure, right? But you want to avoid pain. The pressure or the desire to avoid pain is higher than the, you know, the chasing gain. Let's say that's human nature. So when we're talking emergency fund, you're not seeing that. There's no, you're not seeing it. It's uncertainty. It's difficult to project on something that you don't see. It's not a present danger. It's not there. So it becomes very difficult for people to see even beyond 6 months, 10 months. And then one step back, for some people, the luxury of planning ahead has just never been given them. Never. Because you're always living from mouth to mouth. You know, the money that's in the house is to make sure there's bread on the table. So if you tell that person 3 months, what is that? I don't even know if I'll be around in the next 2 months. You see, so it goes beyond that. It's more uncertainty. Something that's uncertain is not safe.
The interesting thing is, you would think for as long as we have lived, we know that tough times are coming. But even with that knowledge, we are still people of the now.
People of the now, and then the environment, another important thing. So we did your environment. Everyone's living hand to mouth. Everyone's doing it. Then it's the environment we spoke about. So it's the human nature, number one. Then we've got the environment, right?
Yeah.
Where everyone's doing it this way. Who saves for 6 months? You understand? Let's go this way instead, right?
Yes. That's
the mental environment, what your thoughts are, which is your programming, how you've been taught and, you know, raised to deal with money. But then we've got the social environment, okay? You want to fit in, and there's always money. To fit in these days is very expensive. But lastly is the system. The system that you and I are operating in was never created for you and I to do well.
No.
Just wasn't.
No.
You see, so there's those three things that we are always battling
and with our money. Yeah, and then how does somebody who is living paycheck to paycheck or hand to mouth, right? Someone who's like, I don't earn enough to save. How do we get them into a culture or the habits of saving and building these funds without feeling overwhelmed? Because I can imagine your kid is crying here. You need to go to work. So you're thinking, okay, maybe if I don't take it taxi today and I use the train instead, it gets very overwhelming. So how do we inculcate a culture of saving when every day feels like an emergency? Honestly, every day feels like a rainy day.
So it's the practice of it. If I wanted to be practical, I say just spend what you have and hope for the best. Honestly, that's the best. If it's not there, it's not there. Because this is what other people are saying. Like, it's not there.
Yes.
What's the point? Right? It's not even enough. So why bother? Right? But now that's those people. You can't. They're not interested even in this conversation.
No.
It's not for them. They've told themselves that it's not for them. That's one. Then there's that person who's in that situation but knows very well that it does not have to be that way. It can be different, right? And they go look for that. They go look for that help. What does that mean? It means if I'm earning, say, 1,000 rand, and I'm saving, I'm splitting 70, 20, 10.
Yeah.
It means at home, I put away my 20, I've given my 10.
Yeah.
In the house where I live, with that 70, if there is no bread, I'm not touching the 2010. I'm just not. I'd rather go next door and ask for food,
sure,
or I'll start a diet. Now that's the deep conviction. You said when you see the numbers growing, that satisfies you. You understand? So if you read the Bible, you know, Moses, we would be saying the God of what? Abraham, Jacob,
and Isaac.
But we would be saying Abraham, Esau, and whoever the child would have been, right? Had he not given up his blessings for a plate of food.
Now we're going to church.
You see, it's human. Look, for me to sleep at night, I just say it's human nature. For him, it just made sense to satisfy the stomach.
We don't know. He was hungry now.
But did he even know? Had anyone told him about the blessing? We don't know. I'm just saying.
I want, for some people, pain motivates them, right? In that they don't want to feel pain, so they do the thing. For others, it's pleasure. And right now, because I think the pain, everybody knows the pain of not having or of suffering. Let's talk about the pleasure or the psychological relief of knowing you have both funds in place. Let's talk about that.
Oh, that's a special place. And for us to arrange for that, to be ready for pleasure, do you realize that the human behavior, the environment, and the system, you need to go against the grain. You need to go against that. That takes what? Courage. That takes not being afraid to be laughed at, to be called different names, isn't it? It takes courage, to be honest with you. To say, you know what? Yes, I don't have enough, but I know that there's 20% that is for a rainy day. Yes, it doesn't make sense. Yes, people will look down on me to say, but you didn't have food last night. Why didn't you just go pull? It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage. So that's one. So you need to leave. Your environment needs to encourage you to see things differently. Because it is different. It's not it's not normal. I mean, you can imagine you're going against human nature, against your environment, mentally and socially, and you're going against the system. Those are not easy.
Yeah. And I think it's also in human nature to want to be the same. Nobody wants to be different.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. You see, so it takes courage to gain or learn learn about the pleasure of saying, you know what, I'm covered. Yes, some are covered up to the millions. You're covered up to 1,000. That's what you can do with
what you can do.
And then that takes us back to what? Gratitude. Because we always start where we are.
Yeah.
So a 3 months emergency or rainy day fund may not be possible right now. Start where you are. I'm earning 500 rand in 2 weeks, every 2 weeks. In that 500 rand, there is still a 70-20-10 split. You're going somewhere. What is that doing? You're breaking your normal environment.
Yes.
And starting a new pattern.
You know, as you were speaking, I was also thinking, not only does it take courage, but sometimes it takes those very means you are trying to make. And I'm going to give an example. I grew up in Soweto, and a cousin of mine lives next door. And it's because they live next door that we became cousins. Our aunt and uncle were like, hey.
Let's do something here.
And that's how we became cousins. But anyway, they grew up together with these boys. And one of them was really, and that's the other thing. Sometimes you just win the IQ lottery. So he did. And he went to UJ. And I was hoping and praying that he doesn't come back home. And he finished studying. And as soon as he started working, he left. And I think that was the best thing that he could have done, because I see his age mates, including my cousin, and he's really trying, he's doing his best, but it's just not the same because he's still in this environment. Every weekend, it's this and that. And opposite where I grew up is a tavern. So it's noisy. It's inviting. I mean, if you are into those things and you're trying to break away, right? I was so impressed with him for having leaving. And every now and again, he goes and visits. And I become so proud of him when I do see him, because I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. This is what it normally takes to actually make it. It's to leave.
Yes, you got to leave.
Yeah.
You leave. If you can leave physically, yes. Not all everybody can,
not
but mentally
can.
First.
Yeah.
Mentally first. This thing of living hand to mouth, struggling and all of that has to be a them story, not an us story. One. Yeah? And also, you have to completely be sold to the idea that as little as I'm doing it now, this principle works. And it may be in the hundreds today, but if I continue to be in the thousands, and if you continue, and as your life progresses and increases, it will one day hopefully be in the millions. That's just how life is. It's journeys. You go the journey, and it's what you do consistently that determines your results for the long term.
Yeah. And while we're speaking about that, I think let's also contextualize our situation or our culture in South Africa, where many people support extended family, immediate family, black tax, as they call it. How should someone balance their own safety net with the financial needs of relatives? Because when you say 10% for giving, most people immediately think 10% tithe, so giving to the church. But I know what you are communicating, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, is literally generosity, giving to others, having an open hand and supporting others in whatever it is that they're doing. So now talk about our context where it's not necessarily support, it's you're helping these people survive. How do we navigate that?
Okay. Loaded question. Let me start like this. Affordability. Can you afford to? That's the first thing. Remember. So this, we can never run away from the 70-20-10. Can you afford to? Number one. So we agreed, you and I have been talking about this, that the safety net is built into this 70-20-10 principle. We're done. Right? Next. Can you afford it? Because this 70-20-10 informs you what you can afford to do, whether it's black tax or whatever you want to call it. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is, can you afford to take care of the whole nation? If you can, by all means. Most can't. You see, so we isolate these two things. The safety net is catered for. Out of, let's say you are living on the 70. In that 70, my friend, you must include all the hands.
That's so that you smart. Can help. Yeah, because it's part of your living expenses, I guess.
It's part of your living expenses. Yeah. It's not emergency.
Yeah.
It's not a saving. And then important. So affordability becomes a very big question. Can you even afford to, number two, right? Then for me, giving is, I give to a cause or a person who cannot pay me back. I believe that's where the blessing is. If I give you because you raised me, that's not giving. That's paying back a debt.
Yeah.
If I give back because you that's paying a debt.
Yeah.
If I give to, let's say, for a rescue, a animals and things.
I lost you there for
I
a bit.
I can't pay you back.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. If I'm giving to a lady I see on the street, I don't know her, she doesn't know me, she has no way of paying me back. I believe that's where the blessing is. That's giving. Tithes is another, for me, with all due respect,
yes,
I am a Christian.
Yes.
My tithe is in the 70%.
Okay.
Because it's a fixed amount.
Yeah.
It goes out.
Yeah. And it's part of your living also.
It's part
that's
of your
just
living.
How you live your life.
For me. I know people say different. Because for a tithe, to a church that I belong to, is not giving to a cause. You know, they can pay me back. I know it's not supposed to, but that's me. So however you rationalize that, it's fine. If your 10% is a tithe to the church, that's okay. Remember, we got to be in congruence with our subconscious.
For sure.
So I'm happily saying 10% tithe is in my living expenses. 10% random giving. That's where I believe the blessing is for me.
You're so right. Yeah.
And that's not black tax. Giving to my auntie who raised me or who helped us out when my mom didn't have a job, that's paying a debt.
Yes.
That's
not you're servicing. It's servicing.
Yeah. So that's how I split it. So another thing I want to always say, affordability is important. If you can't afford it, you cannot afford
it. You cannot.
Right? And then two, black tax is not unique to us black people. I don't know why we like claiming these weird and ugly things.
Oh, tell us more. Tell us more.
In the Western cultures and in all cultures, it's there. The Asians do it, right? American, South African, throughout the world, Asians, it's in their culture to take care of your parents who took care of you, right?
Yes.
That's one. Then we call it in the Western culture, it's a sandwich. They've termed it the sandwich debt generation, where the pensioners, what do they call it? Those baby boomers or whatever they are, their pensions are not enough. So your parents were working, were middle class, but their pensions are not enough to take care of them. They don't have medical cover and all of that, and you're having to help them. So they call them the sandwich generations because you're taking care of your parents and you're having to take care of yourself and your children. So it's a normal thing. Let's not claim this thing as if it's just ours. The difference is with us, with the more the Western culture, there's, when I say family, I mean my immediate, my mom, my dad, maybe my brother, maybe. But with us, family is granny, one granny, two granny, three uncles. You understand?
And
granny,
your because sister's she raised children. Your sister that doesn't want to work. Yo,
you see. So that's the difference. Yeah, with us it's bulk. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's not unique to us.
And is the difference also not that? I don't know. Like historically, our grandparents and parents were excluded from any meaningful economic exchange, and so we're catching up. Or is that also common in many other cultures and regions of the world?
Which one? Where the parents are catching up through us?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is maybe the difference why we claim it so conveniently is that we are basically catching up to everybody else who was not as economically excluded. But what I'm asking is, will we find that in other cultures it's a similar thing? Their parents and grandparents were also excluded from economic activity, because I think that would be the difference.
That's why that's a bigger one. But I think the moment we keep wearing the victim hat, you'll never come out of it. What in most cultures is, let's just look at South Africa. The Afrikaners will tell you they were oppressed. The English people will tell you they were oppressed. The Indian people will tell you all cultures were oppressed. And they're not, I'm not saying ignore it. No, I'm not saying that. But I think when we keep wearing this badge of honor of being victimized in the way you are mentioning, it keeps us back, because then, you know, Ubuntu, the concept of Ubuntu, at its core, it's a brilliant concept. The question is, can you even help them catch up? Can they even catch up?
No.
How?
There's no way.
How can
there way.
Is no way.
No.
So and this we keep perpetuating this thing because we are victims. Oh, we were excluded. There is no culture that wasn't. I mean, if you look at the, I'll mention it, the Afrikaner community, if they tell you their stories, and at some point as a community, they decided that, you know what, we're going to look out for our own. We're going to look out for ourselves. The Jewish community, they did the same.
Yeah.
Because they're always ostracized and you know, oppressed and all. They look out for each other in a meaningful way.
In a meaningful way.
You see, I find that with us, yes, we were excluded, but we're still perpetuating some of the habits or the culture that was created to guard against that.
Yeah.
For example, our funerals. Can we talk about that?
Oh.
I understand that for...
You mean our showcases?
Because we didn't have. It was Ubuntu. We supported each other. And everybody pitched in. So this person can be laid to rest in a dignified way.
Yeah.
What we are seeing today has nothing to do with
showcasing. Towards the end of last year, there were awards. Best funeral.
Do not tell me that.
I promise you. I promise, best funeral home in this category.
Do you want to tell me that has anything to do with us being previously excluded from the economy?
No.
Nothing.
No.
You see, so we because we are victims, we now carry these things that validate us in a very unproductive and unresourceful way. You see, because when you're a victim, you want to show them one day, I'll show. With the moment you say I'm a victim, if you feel done in by someone, you're at, you know, your desire is to show them that you made it anyway, isn't it? It's human nature.
Yeah.
So until we stop carrying that badge, I think some of our decisions will be different.
You know, something you said is staying with me quite heavily about in a meaningful way. You use that phrase, and I think it was very intentional. I'm thinking about the Islamic people, right? They have these, what is it called? Sharia?
Sharia law, yes.
Yes. This exclusive, I could say, interest rates or rates with banks, right? You have the Jews who essentially created their own ecosystems that money circulates only within their community.
Yes.
And then you have us. What? What is? What is our meaningful way of getting ourselves out of that place? If indeed that is the reason why we are not where we need to be or where we want to be right now, that idea is really challenging me, because what we're doing is in calling it black tax. I'll give you money every month, which could look differently to start a business. And I will help you with this and that in the beginning. I'll invest. I'll put up capital for you to start up. But every month, pay me, because now you've got your own way of making. I just wonder what it could look like for us, and if we're exploring those ways.
Are we willing to, number one? Because this is where I'm going, environment, socially and mentally. We've adopted certain practices and thought patterns about money. That's the mental side, beliefs and all of that. We've owned that. And then we get the social one, right? The physically, the environment is not supportive of what you and I are suggesting today, because we want to belong, right? And in the Islamic culture, or I'm not well versed in that, but we understand the concepts, right? Even the Jewish community, they will force to do business amongst themselves first, before going out. Even the Chinese, if you're paying attention, they do it. That it's very difficult for a Chinese person to come and buy from another race. Even,
and you see
even,
what that has done? It's made them innovative. Because I can't go anywhere else. And so if there's a solution, we're going to create it. Or if there's the problem, we're going to create the solution.
So let me do this for people listening. There's there are two apps that a lot of us, we buy things from overseas. I won't mention them. On your phone.
And them. You mean the you know them, right? LMNOPQRST? Yeah. Those ones that start with maybe those letters.
Yeah. You know them, right? So we sit on our phones, we shop and shop and shop, and the stuff are super cheap and they arrive, customs and all of that. Please just take away your credit card. Spend 30 minutes and look at those gadgets that are there. There's no way you and I or us South Africans are going to beat that. They come up with solutions. I mean, I always look through and see all these things that are coming, things that you can, you know, a simple thing I was watching, you know, when you're buttoning your top and there's a gap.
Yeah.
We used to use a safety pin. There's a thing that sorts that out.
We use it even now.
You know, when your top is falling, like your shoulders are a bit wide.
Yes.
I mean, narrower than the garment. There's a thing that helps you hook. They've got gadgets for everything. I really think every time they infiltrate a community, they look at all the issues. I saw that they even have African print clothing there.
Imagine, what do they know about African print?
Have you seen that? Have you seen that?
I've seen.
They have no use for that. They're creating for the user. And what am I saying about that? It's they're making themselves relevant, number one. They're making themselves effective, number two. And they're keeping themselves financially viable within the community.
Yes.
They don't even try to translate the manuals in the proper grammatical. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
But you're going to buy that
thing. You'll buy and figure it out.
You understand? So where I'm going with that is, they were very oppressed. If you can study the culture, the Asian culture of that country that I won't mention, read books. They closed up their walls for a number of years. Remember, it was a communist nation. They closed up their walls and said, we're going to rebuild from within. And they did that. So, and that talks to discipline. They're very disciplined. We know that. That nation is known to be very disciplined. You know that.
Very.
And that is why I keep talking about discipline, you know, and sticking to the plan.
Yes.
If it's 70-20-10, make it a non-negotiable. Yeah. What is your non-negotiable?
Yeah.
What is a non-negotiable? Most communities, and the thing with us, back to this victimhood that we're talking about, which perpetuates us excluding ourselves from meaningful participation in the economy.
You're not you saying excluding ourselves, ma'am.
We are. What decisions are we making? I mean, rainy day and what do you call this? And emergency fund. Say we have a funeral situation in the home, which every family must deal with at any time. How about we agree that the budget for our funeral is this? We agree. That may mean that you get buried with dignity, yes, but with the cheapest box. I don't know what they call it. There's different names for it. Cheapest box. We feed people the most minimal, you know, and people go home. They're here to support us, isn't it? To help us, to show support, not for us to entertain them and showcase, like you say. That for me, and I know I'm losing a lot of people and I get a lot of hate for that. If we can just look at how we run our funerals, one, a lot of money can be saved from the number one. A lot of generations can be freed financially.
And then this after tears.
What is that? That has nothing to do with being previously excluded. Can we talk about that? And now listen to this. We are not equal, right? The next house has a German make car. The next house has a Japanese make. The other ones have a British make. We're different. We're living different. We go to different schools because it's based on our different means, right? How come when it's funeral time, we expected to bury our people the same way? What is that? What is that? You see, so for me, I understand what our people have had to deal with. But we keep carrying this badge.
And we're burdening ourselves even more because that is a burden we're putting on ourselves now.
I'm finding the church, the way the church the church, the, you know, the born again community, they're doing it the same way as the non-believers. The funeral, that's what combines us, that's what gets us, you know. For me, it's the psychological or the human nature part has got to be dealt with first. Then the rest will just happen.
Yeah.
See,
we got derailed, but I think in us being derailed, I think what it did is just open up our minds even more and stretched it such that when we do come back to this, at least there's some room and some ground to grasp these concepts. What are you seeing people commonly do as mistakes or make as mistakes in building their emergency or rainy day funds?
The biggest one is and thanks to you for coming up with this, is not understanding what these things are for.
Yeah.
So someone will say, I've saved up what I have, say 6 months worth of salaries. My gosh, I've been looking for this couch for so long and it's on sale. Then they go use the emergency fund. That is the most common way where you're blowing your emergency fund on things that are not emergencies because an emergency hasn't happened in 5-6 years.
Oh.
Then you're like, let me just pay myself a bonus.
And then
you see. So that then is. But that, what does that talk to? What does that talk to? It talks to discipline.
Yes.
It talks to you not having fully grasped and being sold to this entire idea that an emergency fund is to buy you peace. You're just trying to buy a little bit more of peace when there is none.
Yeah.
That's just that. So it's the confusion between what a rainy day is and what an emergency is.
Yes.
And what the purpose of this thing is.
Yeah.
That's where people usually make mistakes. My auntie came and she said they're going to chase the kids out of school. And I mean, I'm sitting with 600,000.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. Once you break that wall, we don't know what's coming.
This is so true. So true. Also, because even with you, and this is what makes the whole conversation on discipline quite a heavy one, because of this thing, neural pathways, right? Once it becomes easy to do something difficult, it's not difficult again.
You momentum, yeah. Once the ball starts going,
100%. You start tapping into. Also, the aunt will say, "Yo, he has umpomi. Oh, umpomi helped me so much. Next thing." My baby, that's your grandmother. But also with you, because you've tapped into it, it's no longer the round figure. You're just like, maybe let me bring it down to 500. You know, it's not that bad. And it just compounds in the opposite direction. I don't know what the opposite of compounding is.
Negative has a tendency to just grow faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than the right way. It just I don't know. It's you. I don't know what that is. The things, when they go downhill, they go downhill.
Oh, they do. They do. Let's get into some practical hacks and tools before we end this conversation. Are there perhaps any tools or apps or banking products that can help people set up and manage these funds easily?
So, with the progress that a lot of the banks are, they're really trying to help us. They really are. If you're paying attention. I know the sound or the noise of distracting us is louder, but if you're paying attention, most banks have built in programs and apps where you can automatically split that money immediately. So even addressing those people who are self-employed with no set income, you know how much your life costs. How much is your rent? How much is your groceries? You know the basics, right? That's 70%. You know it.
Yeah.
Set it for yourself, right? And then split your money. So you know that if I make 100 this month, 20 next month, 30 the other month, give yourself a living expense amount. Let's call it that. And then average your money out, right? So if I get 100 today, 200, whatever, average it over a period of 3 months or 6 months, depending on the cycle, right? So you know that's your number.
Yeah.
And then you put an amount. Those apps, most apps will allow you to say it's a stop order. We used to call it a stop order, where you have to go into the bank and tell the bank that every month take this much out, right? Garnish yourself. A lot of people are familiar with this thing where your salary before it comes to you is garnished, right? It goes somewhere else. Then garnish yourself to this. So go into your app. Usually we don't have, these days we don't even have to go into the bank. Go into your app, set it so that when I get paid on the 25th midnight or whatever the time is, set it that within 2 hours it's sitting
gone
in that special account. Remove yourself from the, what are we doing? We're removing the emotions, because we're emotional beings. put it away, even if it means you have this account, the separate account,
yeah.
which, because we wanted liquid. Liquid just means easy access. If it's a 32-day, I mean, after 32 days, that emergency maybe no longer be present, or you would have had to borrow and say, I'll pay you in 32 days. So the most liquid we can do, discipline is required, open that account, throw away the card, so that when, if you need to go, you can walk into a bank and withdraw it. Do you understand? There's a little bit of effort to draw it. So automate it. I think the best thing is to automate it. Automate the 70-20-10. Automate it. And that's one. Number two, accountability. Who's watching what you're doing?
Yeah.
Who have you told that I'm doing this? And then who's not someone who you're going to say, hey, this time I messed up. They're like, yeah, it happens, Chom. I didn't know last month. Now we're off.
That is not accountability.
That's not accountability. That's emotional support. I don't even know what you call that. So,
Skawara, Chomi.
Let's make it right. That reinforces the environment part. So automate it, and then I think those are the most practical things. Move, get accountability somewhere.
Yeah,
automate it, and please, I think for me, find a circle that values the 70-20-10 as a start. What I mean by that is, find a circle that challenges you to do better with your money. Stockfels, there's some very good stockfels that are about that, very good. Where every month, which was a fantastic concept, and maybe people can explore that. Remember in the olden days, we had the stockfel to manage the economic exclusion, whatever all the issues were, right? But there's some. Then what happens is somebody gets smart, they live with the kitty, and you can't find them. What I found works, and these are old people. They changed when dear postal service, they were using the postal service to put the money in because there were no bank charges and all of that. When that thing couldn't work anymore, what they then did is they all opened up accounts. There's about 12 left, some have passed on. They all open up accounts where that same amount that they were putting in, so it's an account in my name, I open it up for the purpose of the stock fell. And every month, I think they agreed on 200 or something. It's been like that since in the 80s. Every month, I put away my 200. And when we, now they don't even meet because most of them are old. They just send the bank slips every month. There's a treasurer. They send on WhatsApp the bank slips. You know, you pull a statement, you take a picture, and you send it to the treasurer.
Yeah.
And if your amount is short, there's a fine. Been it's out. A small amount.
Yeah.
I thought that's so amazing because it's still my money. I still have control. But the discipline is being enforced by belonging to this. You see that environment. I see it again in, you know, the Western African and North African countries with where they use micro lending because they don't have access to the formal systems.
Yes.
They use this peer lending structure where the social pressure forces you to pay back. Because now if the kitty is empty because Mas Mang Mang took it 6 months ago and she's not paying, the social... The stigma is what will compel you to pay back the loan.
Yes.
So that's social pressure being used in a good way. Something that it's a practical thing that some of us can start exploring if you know that your discipline or your environment is not so supportive. It's very simple. I think that those are very simple things any one of us can try and do.
Yeah. And you know, the one you mentioned earlier of the grannies, that one is not a stock, so kiss society.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Kiss society, Bill. Kiss society.
Kiss society.
You know, society.
Yeah.
And they're no longer, because they're old, they're no longer even meeting for social things.
Yes, the tea and the food. I know because my mom is a part of it. And can I tell you what their name is? Young ladies, because it started when they were young ladies.
love it. So that's good social pressure, right?
Yes.
And remember, some in there, I don't even know if there's a constitution, they support each other when there's funerals.
Yeah. So you have a whole community.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
We can do
man,
that.
we can. And maybe that is our way. That is our economy. If you can just be, I remember I was interviewing this guy and he's into this agriculture method called aquaponics. Where you know about aquaponics, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he says how it actually started is a very Stockfellish kind of way, where people were putting money into this thing and they became investors into this business that they are now running as a community. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
This is it, right? They became their own shark tanks.
Yes.
And I'm saying
yes,
tanks because that's exactly how they grow. They grow their food. And are there any, maybe perhaps apart from those, other low-hanging fruits? And I'm going to give you an example. So yesterday I poured petrol in my car and I'd budgeted 1,000 rand for petrol. But then the guy is, kring, 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 hey! Then the thing stops at 937. And I'm like, what? Additional money, I can get a cheese griller, I can get maybe tornado ice cream. I was already thinking about what to do with the remainder. And I'm wondering if I put myself into a discipline of saying, when you don't reach the capacity of what you had budgeted, would it really be bad to round the difference up into a savings? What are some low-hanging fruits that we may miss because we're not thinking about these disciplines every day?
Exactly what you just said, you know, so easy to, it's creep, right? Let's call it lifestyle creep.
Yeah,
yours was a little amount, it's like ice cream.
Yeah.
You know? But I think one way you can change that is when we are set and we fully bought into the 70-20-10, right?
Mm.
In that 70, have a budget for fun, for ice creams,
yes,
for that. You know, a lot of ladies, when they talk to me, they're like, when are you want us to never spend our money? I said, I never said that. I'm saying, plan for your spending.
Yes.
So if in your budget, your fun budget, you know that you're going to get 2 burgers and 2 tornadoes or 2 whatever, you don't need to be tapping into this other one, the 1,000 rand. Because that's catered for.
Yes.
That's planned. Remember, order. We need a lot of order. It's clarity. This money is for that. In the olden days, there's a system that used to work. You used to use the envelope system.
Yeah.
And when that envelope's done, that envelope is done. And when there's money left over in that envelope, next month you top up that envelope. So there is extra. You see, that was easier. It's no longer safe to do that.
No.
But depending on the banking fees, please always don't open 100 bank accounts and be spending so much money in bank fees. But I've found that there's banks that have virtual accounts. Like you can open a sub account of the main account that doesn't have a card and you and the money drops automatically. This is what I was saying earlier. And the money drops it. So what then I would have done, it's a discipline thing again. So you saved whatever, 30 rand or whatever, 100 rand from that petrol thing. Keep it in that account, right? Or drop it into a saving. So, like drop it into an investment. So I also, you see how you love the numbers growing. I got into a habit where if there's a windfall or whatever it is, I save it. I save it because that windfall, I get to enjoy the benefits, the babies,
the money babies.
Yeah, the money babies. That excites me. Some people it doesn't, but you understand.
Yeah.
So have those little games that make you happy. But please, that's not. I think the other thing that the low hanging fruit is where people don't see, have not budgeted for the fun, for the things that make us happy.
Yeah.
Budget for it.
Yeah.
So you know it's there. I don't have to steal from any other pot. I've budgeted 5% to just do whatever.
Yeah.
But remember, affordability. Can you afford? So in my dream life, my fun is a trip overseas every month.
Oh, that is
not a possibility right now. You see, but I've budgeted for my fun.
Yes.
At the level I can afford. That eases the mind, that eases the pressure. And you know, that tornado is going to come from that other bucket because it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've planned for it. What does that give you, Mbumi? That gives you control.
It does.
And that is why I prefer using planning versus budget. Budget sounds restrictive.
It does. Sounds ugly. Like your money is controlling you.
Yes. But if I say plan, I've planned for my type, this type of. So when I go shopping, I have the time of my life because I have planned. I don't buy and feel bad and buy and feel bad and buy again to make myself feel better. Then this is ugly cycle that just continues and continues.
Yeah.
That's it.
And as we wrap it up, if you could give our listeners one money mantra about saving, what would it be?
My money, my terms.
My money, my terms.
You decide.
So now, anything that's happening to your fans, it's your fault. Well, not all the time, but like the decisions you make, they all come down to you.
Yeah. Yes. That's what it is. And there's a guru, a famous guru also. He says, with this, I can't remember what his split was, but he was saying, if I owed someone, he's a businessman. Mm. My creditors can wait. If I got late receiving money from some of my other customers, my creditors could wait. They can list me. They can do whatever. I am not touching my 20 or my 10. Mm. They can list me. I can go back and ask for forgiveness. You are so adamant. My money, my terms.
My money,
if we're going home hungry today, we're going home hungry today. Now, the question then becomes, how do I increase this money? How do I increase 70%? That let that be the challenge that keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
How do you make that more?
Yeah. My parting shot is know when to take out the umbrella and know when you need the flood. Because what will happen is if you bring out the flood and it's only drizzling and there are just trinkles, you will look like a fool, you know.
I love that.
But also, when you bring an umbrella to a storm, it's problematic. Mm. And I think that looks like being very unready for life's emergencies, because they always come. But there is a difference. Know the difference and show up for the occasion when the occasion comes. And because we've already gotten the mantra that my money, my terms, we can call it an occasion, because you will show up ready for it and it won't take you by storm. See what I did there? It won't take you by surprise. Thank you so much, Puti. This was very insightful.
Thank you for having me, Pumi. It's always a pleasure. Love it.
Ah, we'll talk again very soon. I know that for a fact.
I'm looking forward to it.
Cheers, Puti.
Thanks. Keep well.
You too.
Bye.
And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now, everybody.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.